night without Hitchcock and all through the house. Not a feature was playing by keyboard or mouse. No Netflix, no YouTube, no DVD or Blu-ray. The VHS players were all put away. Brandon rolled up his projector screen. Enough Hitchcock movies for this year he'd seen. Chris was in the kitchen, showing Tom how to cook a true Christmas pudding by the British cookbook. They sat round the table with turkey and yams, toasted the new year, and shared Christmas jam. All of a sudden there rose such a clatter. They went to the rooftop by staircase and ladder. They stood by the chimney and saw what they found, presents and gifts laid all around. There were stuffed birds and motel keys and cars with big trunks, champagne and cognac and boats with shared bunks, binoculars and payphones, lengths of strong rope, daggers and handguns, and bathtubs with soap. And then they discovered most joyous of all, excitement and adventure at this port of call. The films of Sir Hitchcock had taken them there, with charm and class and a true master's flair. As they looked to the sky into the night, they swore they saw Alfred taking flight. He waved to them fondly and said, "Back to work. You've got more films to cover. No duties to shirk."
Good evening, and welcome to Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Merry Christmas, everybody. We've got a special bonus. Yes, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Joyeux Noël. What do they say in Britain?
Bon fête année.
What do they say in Britain?
As happy birthday. Anyway, happy Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays.
Happy holidays. We are releasing a special little bonus episode for you guys because we love you so much. We love our loyal listeners. And this was kind of an evolution. Tom had had released a tweet and a Facebook post the other day asking you guys to comment, name the title of a Hitchcock movie you'd like to see, like create a brand new title. And then I said, why don't we just release this as a bonus episode rather than putting it within the episode, because it's almost a topic on its own, and I'm sure we can get a good, you know, 20-30 minute discussion out of this. So what the post said that Tom had created was, you get to write a film for Hitchcock to direct. What's the title? So we've got 8 titles here. And then what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the titles, and then each of us is going to, off the cuff, because I haven't read all the titles, off the cuff, we're going to come up with a 1 or 2 sentence summary of what that movie is in our heads. So, excellent, and we're gonna say thank you to everybody who's participated. And so how we'll do this is I'll name the name of the movie, and then we'll go kind of in rotating order, and then everybody will get a turn to be first. So the first movie that we have was my submission, which we'll go with first, is Dial P for Pizza.
I love that.
Tom, what do you think Dial P for Pizza would be about?
It would be about 30 minutes, $45, $5. I like to give the guy a box of chocolate at Christmas. Thanks for coming out. Thank you for your hard work delivering to my house all year long. So what I see here is a man being held hostage in a room, tied to a chair for hours by some bad people, and he finally convinces them to let him order lunch. They give him a phone, and he calls 911 and orders pizza, and the 911 operator gets the reference and sends the cops to save him, right?
Cool.
It's a little cheesy, but it's funny.
Extra cheesy?
It's a good title. Yeah, cheesy title. I thought, okay, we could do, like, Dial Q for Q-tips, you know, like we could do the whole alphabet. Yes. It could be like a kindergarten experiment. That was very good. I like that title.
We need Sue Grafton to come on here, right?
Yeah. So,
excellent.
No, I thought that was good, and it made me hungry. It made me hungry, which is good.
Chris, Dial P for Pizza, what do you think?
Oh, I love that title. It'd either be Hitchcock doing a parody of his own Dialing for Murder, like parodying his own film. And there's Grace Kelly there just having to eat enormous amounts of pizza, just like, what do you mean pizza? I don't know. Or it's about a serial killer who on Christmas Eve is going around poisoning pizzas and someone in the pizza parlor finds out, and they have to go around kind of stopping these people from being poisoned for whatever nefarious means.
Oh, excellent. I love it.
I don't know.
So my thought...
So, Brandon?
Yeah, my thought process on this one here was, because of Hitchcock loving his international intrigue, my thought was that there's, like, an Italian gang who's got an undercover operation based out of, like, a pizza place. Oh. And then the MacGuffin is the recipe for the crust. There's something encoded in the crust recipe that's, like, it's got to get to the... I don't know, the Japanese consulate. Yeah. There you go. So we'll involve the Japanese and the Italians in this one.
What if it's like a secret order menu? You know, like, it was like, oh, if you order the McSomething.
The McSomething.
You know, it's like, oh yes, I shall have the blue pizza, please. And it's code for, like, drugs or something, but someone accidentally orders it.
Ooh, there you go.
He gets a box of heroin delivered to his house.
I love it.
Well, I mean, it's a bit like Wait Until Dark. Yeah, that kind of... accidentally picking up something for someone else, then the gang has to try and retrieve it from them, and it's like, oh.
Excellent.
Have you ever had spaghetti pizza?
I have not.
It's good. Try it. I had it. I used to work at a pizza place years ago, and they would make a spaghetti pizza.
Excellent.
Anyway.
Wow. Okay.
Carry on.
Okay, so the next one we'll start with Chris, because it's Tom's title. The title of the film came from Tom, and it's called Amnesia.
Oh. Oh, that's cool. That is like a classic 40s Hitchcock title. Mm. I don't know. I mean, the classic thing, but it makes me think of, like, there's a plane crash and a guy has, you might have guessed it, amnesia. And there's people chasing him. So it's a bit North by Northwest, but it's not that he doesn't know. It's that he's trying to remember at the same time. So it's a bit like, Payback. It's a bit like, you know, all these different kind of things, and then you'd have like a memory specialist, I don't know what they're called, if it's like a neurologist or someone, and that's the love interest, and they have to go around trying to solve what he's done in a previous life. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when I
like that.
Yeah, when I heard of this one here, I thought, like, yeah, obviously it's some kind of an international spy that they find, and he's hit his head, and so he can't remember what's going on, but he's got maybe this suitcase full of stuff. And so the idea of the movie is to try and figure out what's the meaning of all these things in the suitcase. And you can have, like, stuff that doesn't really make sense, like a comb, you know, and a towel, and a music box.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was going to say, that is, when I said, oh, it's a bit like Payback, so there's a 2002 film called Payback that has Ben Affleck and Uma Thurman and Aaron Eckhart, and that's the plot. Mm-hmm. And it's really good, so I'd love to see, 'cause it is very Hitchcock, so I'd love to see Hitchcock do something like that.
Okay.
It's really good.
You guys took it a lot farther than I did. This was inspired, of course, by Vertigo. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, what's an ailment that sounds like a good movie title?
There you go.
Right?
Oh, right? Yeah.
Vertigo. I've had Vertigo, so I'm a dedicated Hitchcock fan.
Ah.
So to me, this is really the classic soap opera plot. A woman kills her husband but cannot remember doing so.
Ooh.
So she has to undergo hypnosis to recall what happened, but is it all true? She suffers from amnesia.
I love it.
Right? And it's brilliant because she killed... Like, sorry, toot my own horn. It's brilliant because...
Because I came up with it.
She did the murder. She did the murder, but she... I don't know, did I? Did I load the dishwasher? Where are my slippers? You know? Yeah. I don't remember killing anybody, you know? Mm. So she doesn't even know she did it. So how does she prove that she didn't do it? It's like, what? Anyway, I think it'd be very popular.
You know, we could totally have like a whole string of titles that are just body ailments, you know? Vertigo, amnesia, diabetes.
Tennis elbow.
Head cold. Head cold, you know? Tension, headache. It could be a whole string.
I was
going to
say paranoia, but I'm pretty sure that is one. Oh, no, I'm thinking of suspicion.
Suspicion. There we go. Excellent, right on. Okay, so I'm going to start this one here. And this was your suggestion, Chris.
All right.
So this is called Kaleidoscope. And so a kaleidoscope to me is like a swirling series of images. And... so my thought for Kaleidoscope would be a cross-world tour where there's a chase going on, and they have to go from country to country in order to chase down this piece of information or something like that. So that was my thought process for Kaleidoscope.
Mm. I'll go second here because Chris will probably have a really good one, and I want to hear his. So my idea with this is it's a film set in 1973 with lots of hippies and Volkswagen vans. So the Kaleidoscope Murder is a man who takes bad pills and starts hallucinating. There'd be a scene in a carnival funhouse with mirrors and shooting a gun trying to kill a guy, but the killer is hallucinating and keeps breaking mirrors. I think that's happened in another film. Mm-hmm. And the opening sequence would be a lot of images through a kaleidoscope, almost like a James Bond opening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, with all the colorful lights. And I think the visuals on this film would be huge. They could have so much fun with it. Mm-hmm. But it would have to be set in hippie 1970s, that kind of era. That's what a kaleidoscope is to me. It's a toy from my childhood that, you know, like you looked through it and it was a lot of fun to play with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Christopher? Cool.
So, kaleidoscope, I picked the title because it's a tiny bit of a cheat. Because Hitchcock did mention the idea of a project called Kaleidoscope, and I was intrigued by it. But what I do with it is completely different. He had this plan for it was like a 60s serial killer thriller in New York. And he was this guy was going to go around killing people, and it sounds a lot like it'd be like what Frenzy ended up being. I'd love to see Kaleidoscope where it's either A, kind of MacGuffin thriller where everything's hidden, it literally inside this kind of old-fashioned kaleidoscope, and they're trying to work out, is it nuclear codes? Is it, you know, some kind of cure for an illness, that sort of thing? Or I'd love to see it as a, like, a murder mystery. Mm-hmm. Where you have one central, say, heroine, hero, whoever, and the whole concept of the kaleidoscope is that even if you look through it, everything is refracted and nothing is quite as it seems.
Okay.
So you've got a murder mystery that slowly builds up and that sort of thing. Because I don't think he'd ever do, like, a Agatha Christie-style murder mystery, but I'd really love to see him kind of do a take on it.
I want to see this film now.
Excellent.
I think we should invent the fact that it exists.
Yeah.
And promote it and see how far it gets. I've never seen this film. The British Film Institute's trying to find it now.
We should just make it and then say, oh my god, look, it's a lost Hitchcock.
It's
and
a lost Hitchcock.
$1 million, please.
Excellent. Okay, so not only did we have some submissions, but we also got 5 submissions from some listeners. So we really appreciate the listeners for submitting some ideas to us, and so we'll go through those as well. So the first one came on Twitter from @noir_or_never. So @noir_or_never. And the title of their film was The Green Wall. Tom, what do you think The Green Wall's about?
A mansion in the damp wooded highlands is surrounded by a tall stone wall covered in vines. Under those vines is hidden the secret to a great mystery. Da, da, da. Mm. So it's kind of like year after year, you've seen vines on houses, right?
Yep.
Like year after year, they're there and they're thick. And maybe there's a blight or a beetle or something or a drought. And the vines collapse and they see the brick wall and they find a body or something. Mm. I don't know. I think that'd be kind of fun. It would be very scenic. Shot in England.
Excellent. Chris, what do you think? The Green Wall.
So, I am kind of into art history, and so there is this historical wallpaper colour called Shields Green. And Shields Green was this gorgeous kind of forest green colour and everything, but it contained arsenic, and a lot of people died from it. So, I would have the Green Wall being a bit like Gaslight, in a man is trying to steal all his wife's money, but rather than like killing her, he puts her and decorates the room in this Shields Green wallpaper, and it's kind of either he kills her and it's the detective who tries to prove it, or it's her working it out and trying to escape.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this whole just green, it's slowly kind of poisoning her with the fumes.
Okay. Interesting. I like that. That's kind of cool. So I'm going to keep with my theme of, like, the international espionage. And I'm going to say that, you know, some unknown country, because sometimes Hitchcock does that. It's like an unnamed country or whatever. In Asia, paints a giant section of the Great Wall of China green for some reason. And it's like some international intrigue for why they've done this. So that's cool. That's the idea for my film, The Green Wall.
Oh, I'd see Thanks. That. That's so cool.
Thank you, Noir Never, for that cool idea. Thank you for chipping in.
Yes, excellent. Okay, our next title comes from previous guest podcaster here on Good Evening, Manish Mithur. His Twitter handle is at TheManish89, and Manish is M-A-N-I-S-H. And he was on our episode on The Farmer's Wife. And Manish's title is Assassin! Exclamation point. Assassin. Now, I got to say, first off, as a Star Trek fan, when I hear that word with an exclamation point, there's an episode that I think of called The City on the Edge of Forever where Dr. McCoy accidentally injects himself with a medicine and he goes all crazy and he's like, assassins, murderers, and he's like screaming crazy. So, Chris, take it away.
Assassin. I love it with the exclamation mark because it's like...
Yes.
Is it...
Airplane.
Is
it,
Airplane.
Which one?
Airplane.
No, I was thinking it's like murder or blackmail or that kind of thing. I mean...
Murder. Murder.
I'd probably go with the kind of... it's an assassin, so it's the international intrigue angle. So maybe there's an assassin that's been stalking London and somehow a detective gets involved and it's something to do with... I don't know. Maybe a guy gets assassinated in a cafe and the waitress is the only one to see the assassin's face, and so she has to team up with the detective to try and stop the assassin before he completes this series of attempts.
Okay, excellent. I'm going to go offbeat for this one here, and I'm going to go in a direction you probably wouldn't have thought. I'm going to go screwball comedy with this one here, because Hitchcock's done a couple of them. Okay, and so we've got this assassin who's not very good at his job, and he almost, like, accidentally is successful each time he kills somebody. And in this case, he gets kidnapped and has to escape. And, again, he's got to escape with this wonderful blonde that Hitchcock seems to love. So I'm going to go screwball comedy for this one.
See, I like that. I also like the image that he's like an amazing assassin, but not intentionally. Every time he fails, but he manages to kill him, it's like an Ealing comedy. He's like, well, I meant to shoot him, but the shot bounced off and it hit the ball and that crushed him to death. So
he's the Rube Goldberg killer.
Yes!
Look that up on the internet. That's brilliant. I like the comedy idea, and I blanked on a plot on this one, but I just went comedy with it too. And I was thinking, like, you know, he's like in the hotel and he sneaks around the corner and he chokes the guy and the guy dies and he just looks at the camera and goes, assassin, with the next, you know, boom, like he does the whole break the wall, look at the camera and they're assassin, you know, it would be, the exclamation mark made it happen. Okay. Manish, if you hadn't put that exclamation mark in there, we would, I don't know, it'd be a movie. But the exclamation mark does it for me.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it sounds like kind of 1940s comedy Deadpool. Mm-hmm. Just breaking the fourth wall, just in there, and just like, killing people's easy. And just...
1940s
Deadpool. I would say that.
Deadpool. Awesome. Okay, our next one comes from at today but then, and that's today underscore but underscore then. And I'm not quite sure what they mean by this title. They say six across and four down, and then there's in brackets 736.
Cool. I love it.
Okay, so my thought on this one here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, is this has to be a MacGuffin printed in a crossword puzzle in the newspaper. I mean, like, that's what that screams across to me. The MacGuffin has something to do with the crossword puzzle, and this is how the clues are being transmitted through this crossword puzzle.
So my synopsis is A female librarian kidnaps the university president's son and holds him in a secret room at the back of the library for weeks on end. Her ransom demands are spelled out in the clues of the New York Times crossword puzzle. Will the son make it to his due date, or will the president pay the ultimate fine? Investigators must get the crossword puzzle right to win, and book nerds help solve the clues.
I love this. And then we could use we could use the Hitchcock blonde as the sexy librarian.
There you go.
Yeah.
And there's newspapers, right? Mm-hmm. He loves his newspapers. Chris, what's the British crossword puzzle? Is it the Times of London? Do they do one?
There's the Times, the Sunday, the News on Sunday, that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, so this would work in London or New York or anywhere, yeah. I think. I love it. I love that the title would be really, like, tricky for people to remember. And I want to find out more about today, but then see if they have a library background. Chris, what's your version?
Well, I love the title because when they say 736, is it 7, 3, 6?
Yeah.
So that's what it's how it's spelled out in the thing. So it's a 7-letter word, a 3-letter word, a 6-letter word.
Oh, so I don't do crosswords, right? So
I know that that's what it. Yeah. When I was just thinking, I was like, "That's the yeah." No, I would probably go with the crossword angle again, but I don't know. It'd be great if it was like, oh, there's a serial killer stalking New York or Los Angeles or London or whatever, and it's the person, and he's leaving clues as to who his next victim's going to be in the crossword puzzle.
Oh, okay.
And so they go to the newspaper and they're like, oh no, the crosswords, they get sent in, it's an anonymous person, so they have to try and just like work it out, and it's a very much like a Hannibal Lecter-style trail.
Okay.
So if you open the paper in the morning and your name is a clue in the crossword, you're in trouble.
Well, I mean, I was thinking... Well, it could be that. I mean, it'd be great. Hey, you could do one that's horoscopes.
Yeah.
You know.
Or find a word.
Capricorn, you will die tonight.
Find a word. That's my
my
level of intellect.
Yeah, that could be a title for a Hitchcock film, too. Horoscopes.
Yeah. That's spelled horror.
Okay. I think. Ooh. Okay, so we've all done that. We got two more left to go. Our next one comes from at M. Strawn. M-S-T-R-A-W on Twitter, and the title is The Woman Who Knew Too Much. Take it away, Tom.
I'm a married man. I have no comment. I blanked on this one. I think it's hilarious, and it's like, dial P for pizza. Let's just do The Woman Who Knew Too Much. I got a big chuckle out of this one, and I hadn't thought of an actual plot. I'm interested to hear Chris's angle on this, because I know he'll have something clever.
I got a great one, so go ahead, Chris. But,
Oh, I don't know. I mean, because it could be just like a kind of Ocean's 8 retwist of The Man Who Knew Too Much, except it's all female and all that sort of thing. The Woman Who Knew Too Much. Maybe it's like Ingrid Bergman as a psychiatrist who accidentally uncovers that an amnesiac patient is, you know, a spy. And once, you know, it leaks out of the clinic or whatever, she has to go on the run and look after the patient, and so she has to take like a super active role and be shooting people, and he's teaching her how to shoot because he can't shoot, and all that sort of thing.
Okay.
Cool.
So my idea, I think this is a really good one, would be a woman is like cleaning up her house and whatnot, and she gets into her husband's office and stumbles across a plot that her husband is involved in, and she finds out her husband is like a really bad guy and she didn't realize it. Ooh. And then her husband and his group of people find out, and they have to kill her. They have to kill his wife to silence her, and so she's on the run for the movie. That's my thought.
Cool.
I would pay to see that. That sounds so good.
That does sound very good. I like that.
Awesome. Right on.
And, no, that's cool.
I'm annoyed I can't watch that. That's really good.
Do they have Hitchcock fan films? Like, we could, like, make our own inspired by?
I mean, Stephen King does it.
Or else we need to, you know what we need to do? Is we need to do a Kickstarter for Alfred Hitchcock Presents The Next Generation. right? And then
we could do a Star Trek crossover.
These could all be episodes of the new Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
They could.
Excellent.
There you go.
Okay, so thank you to M.S. Mstron for that one. I appreciate it. That's a really good title, and that got my ideas flowing there. And the last one here came from Haley. I'm guessing this is Haley Stoddart. Haley had the title of The Never-Ending Paperwork. And this sounds very monotonous, this movie.
What did she say in her post? She's like, I'm a social worker. This is my life at work. Paperwork and detective films and Hitchcock films, I always think of the policeman at the typewriter. And this would probably be a bit of a light comedy, too, with the cliche where the cop says, you know, we could arrest you, but then we'd have to do paperwork, right? So they don't want to do the paperwork. So maybe they arrest the killer and then let him go. Mm-hmm. And things get carried away from there, and the cops get in trouble for releasing the killer, and maybe there's more damage done, and it's all about the paperwork in this one. Mm-hmm. And I love, like, the never-ending, and you're thinking, oh, the never-ending what? What is it going to be? The never-ending horror, the never-ending plague? No, it's paperwork. It's the modern plague of our existence, the paperwork.
Excellent. Chris, what do you think?
I would go with, so it's an office setting. There's a young guy there, he's a clerk, he really hates his job because it's paperwork, it never seems to end, so on and so forth. And then he's, say if it's for a newspaper and he's getting submissions, and slipped between is a note saying, I've been kidnapped, please help me.
Ooh.
And no one believes him, and he thinks, oh, it's just like a crank thing, that sort of thing, but the guy believes. And so he then has to try and convince the police, convince his girlfriend, convince the editor that this is a genuine thing, and he has to kind of work out who this person is and try and rescue them.
Ooh, that's cool. That's better than mine, I think. I like that one.
Oh, thank you.
That's good. Okay, my idea for this one here is the never-ending paperwork is there's a guy whose life has been threatened, and through investigation, it's found that the person who's trying to kill him was a convicted prisoner who's now been released. And his punishment that he had to do while in prison was stuffing envelopes. And so he wants to,
oh my God,
he wants to kill the person who made him do that menial task. As
he's got a
the paperwork, it never ends.
And they,
you can recognize him by this cut on his tongue.
Yeah, by the cut on his tongue, and his fingerprints are all sliced up from paper cuts.
Ooh, that's cool.
I like that.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Paperwork.
Why are these paper cuts all cut up? Why are these fingerprints all cut up? I don't know.
He's the cleverest. Him. He's hiding his fingerprints. Mm-hmm. We can't fingerprint him. He's a genius.
Excellent.
Anyway.
Well, thanks to everybody for submitting some really cool titles. This was a heck of a lot of fun, and it's just a great little Christmas supplemental episode for you guys to help get you through your day on Christmas, you know, in case you want to get away from your family or whatever, you know, too much turkey, you know, too much murders happen around the Christmas table, you know, things like that, you know. But thanks so much. So from all of us here at Good Evening, we just want to say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we look forward to some great stuff coming in the new year of 2019. So, until next month, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, good evening.
Merry Christmas, and good evening.